Welcome, Andre de Villiers. You've been a friend to the church for a while. Thank you so much for ministering to us this morning. We're really blessed that you minister to us again. You have a long-standing relationship with Shofar for many years, and I've, at four instances, been with you before. So thank you so much. Can we just welcome him and give him a round of applause? Amen.
Morning. It's good to see so many grandchildren. This is my testimony. You are the kindest person I ever met in my life. In your hiddenness, when you manifest, when you're all in all, when you're all I have, in the ebb and flow as we undulate, you'll never leave, you'll never forsake me. There's nothing I can bring. These empty hands I raise to worship you, my King, with a heart full of praise. This is my testimony. You are the kindest person I ever met in my life. When I wake, when I sleep, when I laugh and when I weep, when storms rage, friends falter, you stay the same. There's nothing I can bring. These empty hands I raise to worship you, my King, with a heart full of praise. This is my testimony. You are the kindest person I ever met in my life.
I came to faith in Christ at the age of 30, and how that happened is this way. God sent a young drummer to my band, this 20-year-old, rosy-faced, young Christian kid. And as a rock and roll musician, I thought he wasn't having any fun, and so I did my best to corrupt him. But he just faithfully served God, and he faithfully served me. Now, so what was amazing about this young man is every time I'd ask him questions about anything, he would just say, look, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. My opinion is no better or worse than yours, but let me tell you what the Bible says. And so what I intended to be an argument ended up being a Bible study. Now, a short while before God rescued me, my young friend, he went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, if you don't save this guy soon, I'm going to leave his band. And so God rescued me. Now, when I got saved, I was somewhat of an airhead. I had very little education. And the reason for that is I dropped out of school at a young age. And the reason for that is I joined my first band when I was 14. By the time I was 15, I was making more money than my mom. My mom was an amazing woman. She worked two jobs to put my brother and myself to school. In the daytime, my mom was a doctor's receptionist. She'd come home in the evenings. She'd have supper with us. And then she'd go out again. And she'd go selling clothing door to door to put my brother and myself to school. Thank God for moms. And so I dropped out of school at the age of 16. For the next 14 years, I lived this life of decadence. Now, when God touched me in a very profound way, and I wanted everybody to experience God the way I'd experienced God. And so I was one of those Christians that was in everybody's face. I wouldn't go away, somewhat of a religious zealot. And the first victim of my zeal was my mother. And my mom lived up in Saldanha Bay. I can remember driving up to her house to go and share the gospel with her. And arrived at my mom's place, and I said, Mom, I've got some good news for you, and I've got some bad news for you. She said, what's that, my boy? I said, well, the good news is I got saved. I'm going to heaven. The bad news is you're not, and you're going to hell. Thank God for the grace of God. You know, you learn some things when you get older, and one of the things I've learned is I really don't think God is remotely interested in how clever we are. I think he's far more interested in our faithfulness and our obedience. And my mom, she saw through my stupidity, and God touched her in any way, and she gave her life to Jesus right there and then, and she served God for the rest of her days. The next victim of my zeal was a friend of mine who fixed up buildings on the inside. And so I thought I wouldn't try that approach with him. I thought I'd write him a song to let him know what God had done for me on the inside, a song called Interior Decorator.
Interior decorator, oh, what a perfect creator. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man, and I got serious spirit. This old body got life within it. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man who knows, doesn't quite understand what's going on. Can't stop it, I'm falling in love. You say he's a little bit crazy. You say what you like, nothing can faze me. I know you'll never change my mind. And I don't claim to understand it. Interior decorator planned it. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man who knows, doesn't quite understand what's going on. Can't stop it, I'm falling in love. Interior decorator, oh, what a perfect creator. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man, and I got to recreate spirit. This old body got some life within it. I know I'm not much on the outside. Inside I'm a brand new man who knows, doesn't quite understand what's going on. Can't stop it, I'm falling in love. What's going on? Can't stop it, I'm falling in love. What's going on? Can't stop it, I'm falling in love.
So there I was, this 30-year-old regenerated hippie. And I'd never done an honest day's work in my life. All I could do was sing and write songs. And so I didn't know how God was going to provide for me or my family. I thought maybe God would take me from being a successful secular musician and make me a successful Christian one. For the next 19 years, I never sang in public. During that time, I believe God was building some character into me and preparing me for this time. At the age of 49, God called me to ministry. I've been traipsing around the world ever since then, just sharing the goodness of God wherever anyone will listen. Now, during those 19 years, even though I wasn't singing or performing in public, I had a reputation in South Africa of being a singer and a songwriter, and so I started being commissioned to write songs for television commercials. I'm going to play you a few for a laugh this morning. You can play the first one, please. Well, God works in mysterious ways. That was the first of many television commercials that I did. And how that one happened is this way. They spent a few million making that commercial. And they had intended to use a Beatles song for the soundtrack. And so they negotiated with the Beatles publishers for the rights to the music. And after a while, they found out that they couldn't afford the Beatles. They came to me. Isn't God good? I have a wonderful family. I've got a great wife, 4 children, and 3 grandchildren. We've been on a journey. I'm going to share some of the journey with you this morning. The song I'm going to sing for you now is a song that I wrote for my daughter. It's a song called You and Me. She's a lot like me.
Got things to lose, we got things to gain. We see from different points of view. But when I look at your life, it's like deja vu. It's a little bit of you and me, me and you. You got me, I got you. Sun comes up somewhere, it fades away. All depends upon your point of view. When I look at your life, it's like deja vu. It's a little bit of you and me, me and you. Got me, I got you. You only need to whisper. You only need to drop a hint. You only need to look my way for me to know what you're thinking. That's the way it is between me and you. You got me, I got you. Drop a hint. You only need to look my way for me to know what you're thinking. That's the way it is between me and you. You got me, I got you. You and me, we're made the same. Got things to lose, we got things to gain. See from different points of view. When I look at your life, it's like deja vu. It's a little bit of you in me, me and you. You got me, I got you.
Six years ago, my oldest son was born. When my son was born, I had no understanding of a father's love for a child. Our dads are meant to model this for us. My father left home when my mom was pregnant with me. And when my oldest son was born, it was 3 years before I became a Christian. It was this point in my life that I believed that God took a hold of my heart. Started revealing himself to me as my father. My dad lived up in Natal, and I lived here in the Cape. And as I mentioned, and as a young man, I was quite a well-known musician. I had a number of albums out, and so my music would be played on the radio, and my name would be in a newspaper from time to time doing stuff that musicians do. And so I would tour around our country promoting my music. And every year I'd go through the town where my father lived. It was also my intention one day to meet my dad, to start a relationship with him. This went on for a number of years, every year the same resolve. This was going to be the year that I'd meet my father. One day I got a call to tell me my dad was dead. And so I had to go and bury him. When I got to the funeral, it was very strange, surreal. Experience. I was a stranger at my father's funeral. I knew nobody there. I asked my uncle, who I'd met, if I could see my father's body. I wanted to see what he looked like. I'd never seen any pictures of him. And so my uncle informed me that my dad had drunk himself to death, and that he looked awful. And so I never got to see my father. My dad was a school teacher. He was a substitute relief school teacher, one of those teachers that go from one school to the next as and when they had need of him. And because of this, he never lived in a house. He lived in a hotel room. And so I went to my father's hotel room to go see if I could find anything there that I could take home and show my family something of my dad's life. While I was looking through his stuff, I found a whole bunch of newspaper cuttings about myself. And there were letters from my school. My father had obviously written to the school to find out how I was doing, and they'd responded. And so it turns out that my dad had followed my whole life, and we never met. And so when my oldest son was born, I said, this thing is going to stop here now. This is not going to happen in my family again. And I wrote this next song for him when he was born.
I've got stars in my eyes. I've got so much love I can't disguise. How I feel, wanted to, everything revolves around you, and your love set me free. Now I know how it feels to be alive. You got me on your side. You've got someone to confide in,
And I would never let you down. I will always be around, and your love let me go. Now I know how it feels to be alive. All of the games that I used to play seem so far away. I was half, now I know I'm home. You fill my heart, you fill my soul. That I used to play seems so far away. I was half, now I know I'm whole. You fill my heart, you fill my soul. And I've got stars in my eyes, I've got so much love I can't disguise. How I feel, what I do, everything revolves around you, and your love set me free. Now I know how it feels to be alive. Isn't that true, though? We never know what our children might become. You live long enough, you learn some stuff. One of the things I've learned is that Christians don't have a franchise on the goodness of God, and that sometimes bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. But God is good all the time. My oldest son, who I wrote that song for, is a very gifted young man. He's one of those people. Everyone in this room will know somebody like him. Everybody loves him. He's one of those guys. And a great sportsman. He's been really gifted by God. He was playing provincial rugby when he was 19. He gave his life to Christ when he was 15 years old. And he was very much in love with God. And he led a number of his friends to the Lord, including my adopted son, in the car on the way to school one day. Now, because of my son's sporting abilities, he got a scholarship to go to a very exclusive private school. At that school, as a young Christian man, my son thought he could do anything he liked with his life, and there he started experimenting with drugs. By the time my son was 21 years old, he was a crack cocaine addict. And he had a habit that was costing him a huge amount of money. He stole everything we had as a family to support his habit. We had drug dealers phoning our house and threatening to kill him if we wouldn't pay them the monies he owed them. And so we paid them. At one time, I was out of town. My wife and my daughter had to go to a crack house to go and fetch my daughter's cell phone. This is how we lived. But during this time, we learned the most about our God. We learned the difference between Christian cliches and Christian reality. And we began to understand what the peace of God is that transcends all understanding. Towards the end of this episode, my son, who had been this happy-go-lucky young man with everything going for him, he'd sit in a public toilet in Sea Point. He'd sit there all night long smoking crack. Now, the nature of this drug is you binge. You either run out of money, or you go into a drug-induced coma, or you die. And so every night my son would go out. We'd never know if this would be the last time we'd ever see him. One evening, the strain of this became too much for my wife and myself, and so I took my son to a place called the Ark. To ministry for homeless people here in Cape Town. I thought perhaps I could help my son there. I can remember the two of us were sitting outside in the street, outside this place. It was 10:30 at night. And I was about to drop him off there and just leave him there and wash my hands of him. And then God reminded me of the words in the song that I'd written for him when he was born, that I would never let him down. And so I turned the car around, and I took my boy home. A short while after that, God rescued him, and he's once again faithfully serving God. He's the father of my three grandchildren. God is faithful. The song I'm going to sing for you now is a song that I wrote while this storm was raging in the life of my family. It's a song called Get Over It. And I was feeling really sorry for myself while I was writing this song. I had these images of holes everywhere. There's a hole in my soul and a hole in the roof and a hole in the floor, just holes everywhere. And then God showed me a wonderful thing as the song developed. I'll get over it. It's just a matter of time. The earth is human, to forgive is divine. There's a hole in my soul, needs some fixing. There's a song in my head, needs remixing. There's a hole in the roof where the rain comes in. There's a crack in the floor, I keep falling in, but I'll get over it. It's just a matter of time. To err is human, to forgive is divine. There's a dent in my pride, it took a beating, we were on the same side. You were cheating, you were sleeping with dogs, picking up fleas, taking what you want, you never said please. But I'll get over it, it's just a matter of time. To err is human, so forgive is divine. So hold in the dark where the light comes through. So hold in my shoe from following you. You got holes in your hands, holes in your feet, and wounds in your back where they beat. There is blood on the tree where you were ashamed for the crime of the world. You were blamed, and I'll never get over it. It's a mystery for all time. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Get over it, it's just a matter of time. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Thanks. I was being interviewed one time on the radio. And the guy who's interviewing me was trying to be clever with me because I'm a Christian. He said to me, can you prove to me that God exists? And so I said, yes, my wife, she's living proof that God exists. So she is. She's a trophy of God's grace and God's greatest gift to me. It's a song I wrote for her called Living Proof. I got a crush on you, babe. I start to gush when I speak your name. They told me the stuff wears out, so how come I still feel the same? From day I set eyes on you, there was never a doubt. I always knew that this is how it would be. I got you and you got me. You're living proof that God exists. how much he must love me. I can move a mountain and I can walk on the sea. You bring out the best in me. Infatuation, I don't think so anymore. We've been around the block a few times. Looks like we're going around some more. Knowing everything you knew, you still chose to see it through. You put your trust in me, and you saw all that I could be. You're living proof that God exists. How much he must love me. I can move a mountain and I can walk on the sea. You bring out the best in me. I believe in you and me. I believe in the family. I believe nothing happens by chance. I believe in this romance. You're living proof that God exists. How much he must love me. I can move a mountain and I can walk on the sea. You bring out the best in me. Thanks. I have an adopted son. Now he came to us when he was 4 years old. How did it happen is this way. He was my oldest son's best friend. As 2 4-year-old boys, they would play together. His mom had some issues, and I was a baby Christian at that time, and I was counseling his mom as best as I could. After a while, the situation became unbearable for her, so she abandoned her 3 children at an orphanage here in Cape Town. So we go on weekends and go and fetch my son's best friend, and we bring him home to come and play. After a short while, he seamlessly integrated into our family, and he became our son. His mom came back on the scene when he was 7 years old. Because I never knew my father, I thought it'd be good for him to spend time with his biological mom, and so she'd take him away on weekends. After a while, we found out that a boyfriend was molesting him, and so we had to stop her from seeing her own child. Now, before this time, she viewed my wife and myself as this wonderful Christian couple. She couldn't say enough good things about us because we were looking after her kids. But because I had to stop her from seeing her son, she developed a deep hatred for us. And every time she'd phone him, she'd poison his mind against us and she'd tell him that we'd stolen him from her. He was only a little boy when he came to us, and so he didn't know any better. On his 18th birthday, he ran away from home to be with his mom. After 2 weeks, she kicked him out. He was too proud to come home, so he just kept running. We haven't seen him now for well over 10 years. Now, there's an update to the story. The song I'm going to sing for you now, I've sung all over the world. And thousands of people have been praying for my son. A month or two ago, he called, started texting us, and we found out he's living in Paris in France, and he started sending us messages telling us how much he loves us, how much he misses us, and how God has kept him, and he's coming to visit soon. God is faithful. Song I wrote at that time. And it anytime you want, you can come home. I want you to know you're not alone. And I wonder where you are. Do you still have the scar? I wonder what your memories are of home. You may not have my blood in your veins, but I'm so proud you bear my name. I will call you son. You can call me dad. I will ask our father to send you home. One day when you finally find your way to the place where all your tears are wiped away, when you stop to breathe and all that you believe brings you home. Life will be good to you, and all your hopes and dreams will come true, and you're never alone. You just pick up the phone. Remember, there's no place like home. Remember, there's no place like home. Remember. My youngest son, his name is Daniel. He's a very funny guy. He came to me a while back, a couple of years ago, when I was recording one of my previous CDs, and he was very cross with me and upset that I hadn't written a song for him yet. And so I wrote this next song for him, and I called him into my room to play the song for him, and got us started singing the song, and got as far as the first chorus, and we both started crying. And so he said to me, "Dad, please take that song off the CD." He was very concerned what his friends were going to do to him when they heard his father singing him this love song. And so I told him that I'd take the song off the CD. A short while after that, one Sunday morning, I was singing in our local church, and my son was there with his three girlfriends. And he said to me, "Dad," he said, "if you play that song, I'll kill you." I played it anyway. Now, fortunately for me, three girlfriends, they went up to him after the meeting and they said, "You must be an amazing person for your father to speak of you this way." And so he came back to me and said, "I could put the song back on the CD." Which is where it is. But we parents, you guys got, most of you got very young kids, but you'll find there's a transitional period in the life of a parent when our kids are 9 or 10 years old. They look up at us as though we're God. We can say nothing wrong, do nothing wrong. For some reason, I'll never figure out, when our kids get to be about 13 or 14, we parents, we wake up one morning and discover we know nothing anymore. And you'll hear me talk of that as the song goes on. It's a song called Daniel.
You may not understand the things I do. Know this one thing. What I do for you. I have no other motive. My heart is pure in an ever-changing world. Know this one thing for sure. Daniel, you are in my eyes a gift of God, the prize, my heavenly reward. Here on earth, you'll never know, my little friend, what you are worth. When I come home sometimes, I find you asleep. I sit by your side and ask my God to keep you safe from harm, make you strong in an ever-changing world. Always somewhere you belong. Daniel, you are in my eyes the gift of God, the prize, my heavenly reward. Here on earth, you'll never know, my little friend, what you are worth. Just recently, I went from deity to knowing nothing at all. No more hugs, only handshakes. My biggest fan just became a man. Daniel, you are in my eyes a gift of God, the prize, my heavenly reward. Here on earth, you'll never know, my little friend, know, my little friend, what you are worth.
Thank you. Well, I'm running out of family, which means I'm almost done. But next time I'll be back, I'll have more grandkids and I'll be songs for them as well, so make more space. But anyway, this amazing keyboard player, his name's Tony Drake. Why don't you say thank you to him, please? Who here, who's, I saw there's one or two visitors here. Who's a visitor of this church who'd like a free CD? That lady with the white top on. Can somebody maybe get that to that lady for me? Thanks. She's sitting right in the middle there. This thing over here is a DVD of a concert I did at the Baxter Theatre. Who'd like a copy of this? That lady there with blondie, you put your hand up first. That DVD has also got a sort of bonus CD in it. But by the way, the first CD, that black and white one's got the bulk of the songs that I did this morning if you do want it. Anyway, this is my latest CD. It's not released yet. Who'd like a copy of this? That lady there with the stripe. Look. Well, the ladies are faster than the guys are, obviously. Anyway, anybody else like one? You can buy them at the back there. It's been a great joy for me to be here. By the way, I presume you, I mean, we're in church. So if anybody wants one, you don't have the money, I'm sure you can just write your name down and bring the money back next week or whatever, how you want to do it. I don't know. If that's okay, you can ask the pastor over there. He's just fine. He trusts you. I get to travel around the world a lot. In my travels, I have some strange, weird, wonderful things happen to me. In August in 2005, I was singing at a drug rehab center in Mozambique, a place by the name of Healing Wings. And immediately after singing at this rehab center, I had to go to prisons in Texas in the United States. Now, I believe in being accountable. And I love my local church. And I like them to know what I'm doing. So I stopped with them one Sunday morning to tell them where I'd been, where I was going and whatnot. So I stood up in church and I said this to them. I said, I just got back from rehab and I'm off to prison. The life of a Christian is not a boring thing. While I was in these prisons in Texas, a door was open for me to go sing on death row. There I became acquainted with a woman by the name of Frances Newton. She'd been there on death row for 17 years. On the 14th of September that year, they executed her. I had the enormous privilege of singing this song to her that I'm going to sing to you now. It's a song called Passing Through. I'm going to show you some pictures of a church inside that prison while I sing the song to you. My eyes always look up to where my Redeemer comes from. My feet want to run to you, 'cause heaven is where we belong. We're just passing through God's poetry in motion, made to worship you. While we're passing through, when I look where I have come from, it's easy to see where I'm going to. I've learned the hard way, there is no easy way, so I'm gonna fix my eyes on you. While I'm passing through God's poetry in motion, made to worship you. While we're passing through, there's no way I can conceive of all the good things you have prepared. Oh God, I'm in awe of you. I live my life happy, scared, while I'm passing through God's poetry in motion, made to worship you. While we're passing through, while we are passing through, while we are passing through. I remember the days of my life. I recall the faces, mostly yours. Magic moments, life was a mystery. There's no place on earth that we'd rather be. Moving up, going through some changes, storing up the memories. You gave me the light of my life. I always gave the best I could give. Sometimes it never seemed like enough, but we never quit when the going got tough. Do you remember the way it used to be? Never counting the cost was a matter of trust. Covenant's cut,
Love is for life. Still bear the scar. Do you still carry the knife? I remember the days of my life. I recall the faces, mostly yours. Magic moments, life still a mystery. There's no place in earth that we'd rather be. This is my life, and I'm passing on the memory.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andre and Tony. It's so good for you to join us. You really blessed us. Thank you so much. I'd just like us to, I'm going to close in prayer, but then after that immediately, I'd just like you to turn to the person next to you and ask which part of Andre's testimony, which he sang to us, ministered to you personally the most. And then for the visitors especially, but guys in our church, if you can, if his life with God and his testimonies with God made you feel as though you don't have that relationship with God, as though God is not that part of your family life or normal life, as he shared, then why don't you just have the courage of telling the person next to you, and the two of you come afterwards, and we just pray with you and share with you our life that we have in God, and maybe give you an opportunity to meet Christ as Lord and Savior and as God in your life, as he did. Father, thank you so much for these testimonies, God, of life with family and life with friends, God, and it's a lifelong journey, God, and we thank you for the inspiration, God. Like in the book of Hebrews, God, it's a privilege for us this morning, Lord, to look to Andre's life, God, and the songs that he wrote, and follow the example of faith and godliness, and be encouraged by your faithfulness, even in the songs that are still being fulfilled, the prayers that are still being fulfilled in his life. In Jesus' name.